Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
As the summer sizzle fades, it's time to establish a wellness routine that's here to stay. Ritual is shaking up the supplement industry with their focus on traceable science and high-quality ingredients. They've got every base covered, from their clinically backed women's 18-plus multivitamin to their stress relief and sleep melatonin, both using first-of-its-kind BioSeries technology designed to optimize formula delivery. For a limited time, get up to 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Jesse Wiseman, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Jupe and Cole.
Jupe and Cole. Dude, I like that. That sounds better.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
Today, we've got another fun and flirty episode
for
you.
This is going to be a good one.
Yes. It's got everything that we like. All of our favorite things. A sketchy hotel.
Ooh.
A mysterious death.
Mm-hmm.
And a pair of hard-boiled detectives willing to do whatever it takes to solve the case. This is the story of the body in 348. Ooh! Body.
I'm fucking sold.
So.
It's a dead body?
Yep. It's a body. It's a dead body. Yep. The body in room 348. Yes. We have been here all day. If you're wondering why my lips aren't working. And why.
My eyes are droopier than normal. It's been a long fucking day. They're always droopy, but goddamn.
And we look a little bit different, right? We've got a closer, it's a more intimate scene.
Going for a
romantic
noir
vibes.
Thing.
Yep.
It's a benefit of having an award-winning cinematographer doing the show.
Yeah, and Joel's been producing his ass off all day. Today we did.
All goddamn day. All night, too.
A possible new show called Bad Morning America, where we come in super early around noon, and we're hungover as shit, and we deliver, like, real news?
Yeah, all those articles are real.
I know.
Yeah.
With a little bit of banter in between, huh?
A little bit of banter in between. Yeah. Might possibly in the future want to space it out.
As far as like doing that show and this show?
Yeah.
I hear you.
Coming into the show hungover is rough.
I hear you. Well, I think you guys went above and beyond, though, like in your... So you had a couple jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Write the show, set it up for the live Bad Morning America, and then that night, you also, part of your job was to get super wasted.
Yeah, because the idea is that we're hungover during the show. Yeah,
sure. And so...
Great idea.
Yeah, one of those jobs you did really well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to toot my own horn, but 25% of that job, we fucking crushed.
Seriously, dude.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys decide which part... we've got a fun case today. Sounds a little, like, the title sounds a little paranormal, right?
Oh.
Like the body in 348.
Yeah, as far as any of the episodes that we've done goes, this is the closest to paranormal that we're going to get.
Right, because I
There's
think
ghosts
the,
and shit.
The entire time you're going to be really, really confused as to what happened to this body. What happened to this person? The entire time, I think.
Yeah, I dare say for the entire episode, we're probably all going to be fucking confused because I think we're all half asleep, but it's going to be a good fucking show.
It's going to be fun and flirty close.
Santa.
Right?
It's Santa Claus.
That did it?
Yeah.
That
it's December.
Fucker.
God damn it, don't break.
That fucker.
Just my guess.
On the evening of September 15th, 2010, 55-year-old Greg Flanagan checked into the MCM Elegante Hotel in Beaumont, Texas.
And can I stop you right there and give you a one star?
Absolutely.
For the Elegante.
Yeah. For the Elegante. Oh,
yes.
Hell yeah.
Just to kind of set the scene, guys. So Miranda E. from Portland, Oregon, went to the Elegante. Portland.
Great place. Used to live there. Left for a reason.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So she went to the Elegante, and if I could give negative stars, I would.
Again.
Classic, right? Well, you could. You could just not leave a review, and that would be
I think the worst review is just not leaving a review at all.
No. Negative stars. This place is a complete dump. As you know, with one star, if they're in all caps, I've got to yell it.
Yep.
So I'm sorry. This place is a complete dump. Just checked in today, given a room with blood on the sheets.
What the?
Not once, but twice.
Holy.
Wait, what? How the fuck does that work?
Asked for new sheets, and those had blood on them too. Changed rooms. And walked in to someone else's room because they gave me keys to someone else's room. Then I finally get a room that smells like my grandmother's basement. And as I'm fixing my room to eat, the ceiling plaster. Oh, sorry. Fixing my room to eat. The ceiling plaster. Into my food. I throw the whole thing away and sit down to order food, and someone, not a maid, tries to walk into my room. I mean, this is in no way safe for women or children. It's filthy. It's literally falling apart. But thank goodness they just installed a fish tank in the lobby. Maybe I can sleep in there.
What the fuck?
Miranda.
God damn, yeah, round of applause for that.
That was actually good.
Right? If that does not set the scene for what we're dealing with here, I know it's called the Elegante, but don't get it twisted.
Yeah, it doesn't
everybody.
Sound very elegante.
Is that Spanish for something?
I think it's Spanish for elegante.
Hmm. Yeah.
So on the evening of September 15th, 2010, 55-year-old Greg Flanagan checked into the MCM Elegante Hotel in Beaumont, Texas. Texas, fan of that place.
Yeah.
Although living in Lafayette, Louisiana, Greg's duties as co-founder of the OGM Land Company saw him making regular trips to Houston, the Houston area every Monday, then returning on Friday to spend the weekends at home. Once checked into his room, Greg planned to spend the evening watching a movie, but was delayed when the microwave blew a fuse.
Mm-hmm.
After a short delay, there's a gauge.
Bloody sheets and shitty microwaves.
Well, there's a full-blown like gay joke in there somewhere, and I'm just too out of it to make it right now.
You know it's rough when you can't even make a gay joke.
You see that it's there and you can't do anything about it. You feel helpless.
We apologize in advance, guys.
After a short delay, maintenance workers solved the problem. Greg was able to get cozy in bed with a pack of cigarettes so he could chain smoke his way through Iron Man 2.
Oh,
smoking
guy,
in bed, dude?
This guy knows how to live.
Dude, again, like smoking in bed in a hotel.
I guess he laid down a towel, right? Got cozy.
Laying back in bed, just fucking chain smoking cigarettes, eating food out of a vending machine.
That's a pastime long forgotten.
Yeah, and by the way, in life. A hotel, so you're just like, fuck this place.
This is somebody else's problem.
Yeah, this is Miranda E's problem.
As he watched the movie, he swapped emails with his wife, Susie, who... to give input on a project she was working on. The last email he sent to her read, quote, "You're doing good, babe."
Aww, so sweet. She emailed him talking about the IRS papers, she, you know, the tax papers she was working on, and how, like, awful it is, which it is. And he said, "You're doing good, babe." Now, you can read that a couple different ways. Like, he's so sweet, or he's also like, "You're good. I mean, you're good."
Just get, it's taxes. Get this shit off my fucking
like, I
plate.
Really, I'm watching Iron Man 2. I'm smoking. I'm eating it. Like, you're good. So, look, up
Mickey
to you.
Mickey Rourke is doing a Russian accent right now.
Yeah.
I'm kind of busy.
You're doing good, babe. You're doing, like, your job. What? Anyway, a couple different ways to read that.
The following morning, Greg failed to show up to work because he spent the entire night getting nagged by his wife. But to make matters worse, he also missed his daily early morning check-in call with his wife. Concerned with his safety, his co-workers drove to the Elegante and knocked on the door. After receiving no answer, a hotel manager unlocked the door to the room. Inside, they found the lifeless body of Greg Flanagan.
Is he dead? Wait.
Lifeless?
Yeah, lifeless body.
There was no life in it.
I thought that might have been, like, emotionally. Like, dead, like dead inside.
He was soulless.
Yeah.
Beaumont police quickly arrived on the scene, led by Detective Scott Apple. What?
Ooh.
Scott Apple. A long-serving and highly respected member of the department. Looking around the room, Detective Apple knew immediately that this was the work of the most prolific killer in U.S. history, responsible for countless deaths across the country. Heart disease.
Goddamn right.
He's good. Detective Apple.
Heart disease killed my father and raped my mother.
That motherfucker. It didn't take the world's greatest detective to see that Greg had gotten double teamed by the fast food, and big tobacco.
Damn.
The unhealthy 55-year-old had spent most of his life smoking and sitting behind a desk. After half a century of chasing Whoppers with Winston's, his heart had finally given out.
Winston's are cigarettes, right?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Classics.
Classiques.
Most of the time.
Detective Apple put out an APB for Colonel Sanders and the Marlboro Man. Yeah. Then sent Greg's body over to the Jefferson County Medical Examiner for an autopsy. So, first glance, older dude, smoking, candy bars everywhere. You know, he's thinking, okay. Like, this does... There's no wound, there's no blood, there's no any other sign of anything. So what else are you going to think?
The way that I saw it is if you walked into a hotel room and you saw me laying dead on the ground, you'd be like, okay, makes sense.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense. No, but listen.
Like, oh, yeah, of course.
But seriously, had no, you know. There was no sign of anything else being the killer.
Yeah,
so you go, natural. And by the way, the amount of times that people probably see natural causes in a fucking hotel room.
Oh, especially something like the Elegante.
Seriously.
Yeah, you're going to be seeing that shit every day.
Every day. So he's like, okay, here's another one. Doors locked. No one was in here. No signs of anything else. What else?
Peaceful death.
At the medical examiner's office, Dr. Tommy Brown, lots of good names in this episode.
Tommy Brown!
Dr. Tommy Brown conducted a postmortem exam on Greg Flanagan. The autopsy revealed that, as expected, Greg was a few years past his prime and an ideal candidate for a heart attack. There were no obvious signs of trauma on the body, only an abrasion on his cheek from falling and some strange swelling in his groin. But look, past the age of 40... Listen. Yeah, both those things.
Like a bony?
No, like a swole. It was just like swollen.
Little inflammation.
You go, oh, maybe that was there before.
Yeah.
You know, old guy probably like, my fucking balls are swollen.
My balls are swollen again.
They swell up every now and then.
Yeah, I had too much salt.
I had giant balls once because I got poison oak.
See?
And I had a really bad reaction. They got huge and like hard as rocks. It sucked.
That sounds awful, man.
Yeah, it was. Good story, huh?
It's a really good story, and I'm glad that we're both picturing it.
Yeah.
You, Coop, you go to...
I didn't have to picture it. He showed me.
Oh, yeah. I bet he did, though. Did he?
I did.
Yeah. Sent you a picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the twig, you know, the berries were swollen. The twig was bent like an L shape. It was
real quick.
It was awful.
How'd we get it? Poison oak or whatever? Is that what it was?
I was shooting a short film, and there's a scene when, like, this a girl falls in a bush, so we did, like, a shot where the camera falls with her, and we both just... We didn't know it was a dead poison oak bush.
Okay.
And we both got it. She had it on her vagina.
That's too. What I'm wondering.
Because we were peeing outside because it was like out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
So fell in the bush, kept shooting. 2 hours later, I just went pee around a tree.
Okay.
Poison oak on the balls.
Hand on the junk.
That's right? A story and you're sticking to it.
Yeah, because there's other ways.
Remember the fire, Joel.
That's another time I got poison oak on.
I thought that was the time balls. That your balls swelled up.
Oh, I got them twisted up. Yeah, you're right. I got it multiple times. I've gotten I'm super allergic to poison oak. I've gotten it like 6 times. It's awful. But only once on the balls.
Yeah, so you wouldn't think, back to the story, please God.
Doc Brown was convinced that Greg's death was the result of a sedentary lifestyle right up until he opened his abdomen. So just to recap, this guy, he's old, skinny, kind of unhealthy, looked totally normal. When the doctor opened up his abdomen, it looked like he had gotten in a car accident. While seemingly unharmed on the outside, Greg's insides had experienced a level of trauma the doctor had only seen in car accidents. Multiple lacerations were found on Greg's stomach, liver, and heart. Along with those wounds, his intestines had been ruptured, multiple ribs were broken, and the right atrium of his heart had been torn open. The level of internal bleeding would have been enough to kill Greg in seconds. At the conclusion of the autopsy, the cause of death was officially listed as a homicide.
Oh, shit!
Even that's weird, though. The homicide, right? Because you still are like, but how?
With, like, even understanding that the only way that could have happened was some catastrophic internal injury... It is kind of a stretch to classify it as a homicide right away.
Right. I would go undetermined at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then leave it to detectives to take it from there. But...
Imagine dying in this.
Right? Look at that. The Elegante. God.
That is the shittiest hotel.
Shittiest hotel. Miranda, E, what did you think it was going to be?
True. I mean, I kind of... That might have been a one star that I agree with.
Like, yeah, but
bloody
also,
sheets, that's fucked up.
Leaving a one star for the Elegante.
Forgivable twice.
I see what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
Like look at it. Obviously, it's a one star hotel.
Even from the outside, I'm parking right now. I'm about to go in. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like already worried about blood on the sheets, right? I'm like, this is going to be awful. What is the fucking point of a one star? She had no one else to talk to is what it is. Sometimes
she's
Yelp
lonely.
Is
God,
people's only friend to vent to. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where it's like, call someone and like tell them this crazy shit. Why are you telling Yelp?
No, I feel bad for her. She's single?
Maybe.
You know what I'm guessing? Yes. So Greg's autopsy had raised more questions than it had answered. Luckily, Detective Apple Shablam was on the case. Unluckily, Beaumont's finest was in over his head. The local police department only handled around 10 murders per year. And none of those had been pulled straight from an Agatha Christie novel. None of the evidence made sense. Greg was found inside a locked room with no signs of forced entry. Nobody in the hotel had heard anything out of the ordinary, and despite the extent of his injuries, not a single drop of blood was found near the body, and police couldn't find any signs of a struggle. Whoever had beaten Greg to death must have done it at another location, then brought the body back to the hotel. The only problem with that theory was CCTV footage and forensic evidence showing that Greg was the only person to enter or leave the room the night of his death, not to mention the cigarette found still in Greg's hand the following morning, meaning he was still alive when he returned to the hotel. Also, no bruising.
Yeah.
No no head, besides the like falling to the carpet, no bruising, nothing that would show on the outside.
Yeah.
But the insides are fucked.
That he was beaten or killed somewhere else even. But the insides look like he was in a car accident or literally beaten to death.
And this case reminds me a lot of another like really seedy hotel that we know, the Hotel Cecil or Cecil. The lady that ended up in the water tank. On the roof. Like, that's the only case that I can think of that's anywhere near as weird as this one.
Right. Where you're just like,
how the fuck did she get in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And why and all of that? So the final and most puzzling mystery was the condition of the body itself. Like I said, somehow the killer had beaten Greg so severely that it ruptured his organs without leaving a single bruise on his body. It seemed as though he were dealing with something straight out of the X-Files. To solve the case, they were going to need Agent Mulder.
Very timely reference.
Super current, yeah.
Just like all my references.
Should I play the X-Files theme?
Oh, you probably will. Did you guys watch that show when you were growing up?
I did.
Yeah, man.
I might be an asshole, but I never liked it.
My mom was all into it.
Really?
I watched it all the time.
I bet I can guess her favorite episode.
When they like bang or whatever?
No. Where they find that weird inbred family with no arms and no legs, and they're just all...
Oh, okay, that episode I liked. That was a fucking good one. Yeah. Guy underneath the bed.
I don't think I saw that one.
No, there's like a basement where they kept like all the like family members, and a couple of them were literally just torsos, and they would just breed them and shit, and they were coming out, goon, 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 goon.
Reminds me of home.
Yeah.
It was after months of nothing but dead ends that Greg's wife, Susie, decided to take matters into her own hands. Agent Mulder wasn't available due to a show being canceled, which it shouldn't have been. I mean, I didn't like it, but
I know you didn't like it, but for some reason you think it shouldn't have been canceled. Okay.
Yeah, don't know how that works. but Susie was able to find the next best thing, a former DEA agent turned private investigator named Ken Brennan. This guy is a fucking badass. Former DEA, which, I mean, you know, there's a handful of things in the DEA that I'm kind of a fan of. In terms of the stuff that
they're taking our drugs.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? Yeah. Keep away.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool, dude. And we will say about his wife, Susie, she initially had actually called, I think, Detective Apple once she heard and gave him information about Greg's lifestyle and was like, look, this doesn't seem weird. This is what he ate. This is what he did. Like, he didn't ever exercise. He didn't like vegetables. He smoked all the time. Like, she kind of called him and gave him this information just to kind of be like...
And there was only one specific thing that she called out as being odd about the situation.
Yes. The air conditioning.
The temperature of the room.
Yes, the temperature of the room being... really hot, which we didn't say, but when Detective Apple walked in, it was a really hot Texas room, which is like, ugh. No one does not have their air conditioning on in their hotel room. So that was a little bit odd.
Yeah,
so,
even, go ahead.
I actually found a picture of Detective Apple, if you guys want to see it.
Oh, what's this going to be?
Look at him, see?
Fucking knew it.
On the case.
It's a cartoon of an apple.
It's a cartoon of an apple for anyone listening on the audio.
It's dumb. For the Patreon.
With a big magnifying glass.
It's dumb.
It's great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ken Brennan didn't have any experience with the paranormal, but he did have a long history as a detective for the Long Island PD. After getting a referral from a friend, Susie contacted Ken and asked him to take on her case. Once he had the details, Ken grabbed his trench coat, his .38 snub-nosed revolver, and a bottle of whiskey from his desk drawer.
Yeah!
With the tools in hand, He walked out into the mean streets of Beaumont, Texas.
And he stayed in a silhouette the whole time.
Yep.
Always backlit. Yeah. Always backlit.
He's like,
perpetually,
get that light. Uh-uh. Turn around.
Perpetually raining.
Always raining.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hat on with the face always in the
mm-hmm,
shadow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, the hat actually had this waterfall contraption that would, like, yeah, come over and was just always raining over his face.
Dude, that would sell. If you made a backpack that held water and then rained on you, and you could walk around and just be rained on just in your little area, people
would buy
that.
Don't steal that, Reuben.
Build it, Reuben.
Yeah, Reuben.
Build it and send it here if it exists.
Yeah.
We got to stop calling him out so much, or else we're going to have to start paying him.
Yeah, he is money hungry.
I can't believe you went to Ukraine for free.
That's crazy. In one day. He started off the show at home. By the time we called him, he was in Ukraine. It's like amazing.
Crazy.
He was back by the end of the show.
With his many years of experience in law enforcement, Ken was able to win over the Beaumont Police Department, especially their lead investigator. Ken and Detective Apple teamed up to tackle the case together, even becoming friends along the way. Maybe even more than
friends. More than friends.
Gay joke. Look at these. Look at these two lovers. No. Look at these two badasses. They're like, what?
You think they got hugs?
Heart attack? Uh-uh.
Oh, dude, look at those hands. Of course they do.
For sure.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Mm. Which one would you bang if you had to bang one?
Ooh.
Coopy first.
No, 3, 2, 1, same time, left or right.
Oh, wait. Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Right.
Oh! No! We racist. Have the same tie. Whoops. You better stay away from my man.
Yeah.
You start getting in, like, super getting into Ohio State. You're like, I love it. Just so you know.
I could sell it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know.
So watch yourself.
I know. Watch yourself. Show me what you were getting.
Dude.
Yeah. We just dated ourselves.
Blam. The dynamic duo approached the case with fresh eyes, reviewing every piece of evidence gathered during the initial investigation. Detective Brennan gathered crime scene and autopsy photos as Ken got new statements from hotel staff and members of Greg's social circle. The case was finally gaining momentum once again.
So on Ken's second trip to Texas, he and Detective Apple revisited the Elegante Hotel to attempt to get a clearer picture of the night in question. At this point, I think it's roughly 2 months after the death. So Brennan made at least two trips back out to Texas for the investigation.
Two tips, touch tips. Nailed it.
Oh, Eskimo brothers. The two men pored over photos of the crime scene and testimony gathered in the initial investigation. Guests in the adjacent rooms had been questioned on the night of Greg's death, and statements taken from all of them. Ken found a group of electricians staying at the hotel of particular interest. Detective Apple informed him that the electricians had been questioned and cleared, but Ken wasn't convinced. At his insistence, Detective Apple brought the employees of the construction company in for questioning.
Yeah.
In Torsant.
So also setting the scene, besides Miranda Ease, this is kind of a hotel that's like extended stay. So you're going to have a lot of like traveling, either electricians or construction workers or whatever, staying for long periods of time, not just like one night. So they end up getting pretty comfortable. It almost turns into a little bit of a temporary apartment building sort of thing.
Yeah, it comes across kind of like a bunkhouse on a ranch.
Very few, at this time anyways, very few people just kind of staying for one or two nights or anything like that. It's most people are staying there for work for many nights in a row and see each other and whatever. When police had initially investigated Greg's death, they had only questioned the men staying in the room next to his. Ken wanted to cast a wider net, bringing in co-workers and even members of the same electricians' union. His goal was to see what kind of gossip had been going around since the murder. Very smart.
Very,
right?
Very smart.
Not talking to the people, but just asking, like, did you, like, hear about anything that maybe happened at a hotel somewhere sometime?
Yeah, it happened into the social circle.
That didn't, or social circle in that, like, they weren't close with them. But, and wouldn't have a problem saying anything, but still, like, didn't know exactly, but at least would be able to hear something.
Yeah.
Most of the construction workers had the same story. They had heard through word of mouth about the guy that had died of a heart attack in the hotel, but not much else. Only one employee had a story different from the rest. He hadn't heard about the guy dying from a heart attack, but he did hear a rumor about someone shooting a gun in a hotel. With this new information, Ken and Detective Apple rush back to the hotel. Now, on the night of, or the first couple days of Detective Apple's investigation, he had questioned these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, went to the next door, and he even recorded it.
Yeah.
And they were so forthcoming and so, like, wondering about the case and seemed like they had no idea what happened. And the way that Detective Apple felt is, like, they gave, you know, they gave IDs, they gave numbers, they were like, anything we can do, super cooperative, didn't seem out of the ordinary at all. Although, like we said, they don't really deal with a lot of homicides in this town, so he's not used to questioning and finding, you know, things that are weird. But
dude doesn't have there's no gunshot wound.
Right. So he was almost just asking to be like, did you see anything? Do you know anyone? Whatever. And they seemed very, again, oblivious. Oh my gosh, what happened? Credible. Yeah. He really believed them. Brennan was the one that was like, I don't know.
I mean, coming from, like, Long Island PD and...
Right, he's like,
DA,
I need...
He knows that even if it doesn't seem suspicious initially, it's worthwhile to follow up on it.
Right.
Nearly 1 year had passed since Greg Flunkin died in the Elegante Hotel. After countless guests, the rooms had been cleaned multiple times, leaving little hope for remaining evidence. Despite this, Detective Ken and Detective Apple scoured the rooms, checking every single nook and cranny they could find. Their search paid off when Ken noticed a small indentation on the wall dividing the electrician's room from Greg's room. Checking the other side of the wall, they found a matching indentation. So, for indentation, it was right next to the doorway, pretty much around the spot that you would expect the door handle to hit.
Yeah, when you're opening it to keep kind of hitting.
But it was just slightly off, which is a pretty fucking smart thing to notice. It was a small hole, roughly at waist height, that someone had hastily patched with toothpaste. When a laser was shined through the hole, it aligned perfectly with where Greg Flanagan would have been sitting while watching the movie.
Oh, shit.
Greg hadn't been beaten, he had been shot. the bullet had entered through his groin, which, goddamn, think about that without cringing.
That's why he had swollen testicles.
Traveled yep. through his poisoning. Torso, bounced off a rib, and tore through his heart. He was only able to make two steps towards the door before he died from massive internal bleeding.
What?
Yeah, and like, we set the scene too of Apple and Brennan going into this hotel room, right? Because the way that they talk about it in a couple articles is like, Brennan's the tall guy that you wanted to have sex with.
Hey, both of us, we both said right.
But listen, is it more notable that I do or that you do?
Good
Anyways,
point.
So. So you wanted to have sex with the taller guy, Brennan, right? And
okay, yeah.
And he's in there like, what? Or wait, which one finds this? It's Apple, right?
No, Brennan.
Brennan's the one. Okay, yeah. So then short Apple is being like, man, what do you do? And this is crazy. I did this already. You know what I mean? I already been through these rooms. I asked the guys, what's happening? And he's like, wait a minute, right? Look at this. Opens the door.
The doorknob doesn't match the dent.
Goes to the other room the next thing. Pushes on one little indentation. Toothpaste goes through. He's like, what?
A hole in a wall.
Brennan, what are you doing?
You're a genius.
What are you doing? He's like, hang on. Laser pointer.
He had it with him.
Had him with him.
In his pocket.
Points through. Apple sitting there like, son of.
You're a goddamn genius.
Yeah.
Started blowing. Sorry. Jesus.
So he gets in the place of Greg. I'm laying here. I'm eating a fucking candy bar, smoking a cig, Iron Man. Oh, yeah. Cuckoo. Right through the fucking groin. He's like getting up.
Ah, my balls.
Cigarette, too. Did we talk about that? Cigarette yeah. being in the opposite hand.
We don't talk about sees. The opposite hand. It was
so
underneath
when the bodies found it was
body.
It was underneath and then on the scene as they're doing this detective going through, they call the wife, Susie. Hang on a second. What are you doing, Brennan? What are you doing? One second. Call Susie. What hand did Greg smoke? You like my phone?
Yeah.
Beep boop boop. Blink. What hand did Greg smoke with? It was always the right.
Bum, bum, bum.
What? Yeah, but what does that prove, Brennan? What are you trying to say?
Oh my God.
Jesse, what are they trying to say?
I know the story.
Gets shot through the groin. Apple, stay with me, you tiny little fuck. Gets shot through the groin. He's so stunned. He gets up. He's gonna try and open the door. He has to switch the cigarette to his other hand. He goes to open the door and falls flat on his face, dead in seconds.
Then what happens?
Genius.
Yeah, that's how he died.
Then they fuck. Oh.
That's how he died. So somebody shot through the wall. And as this guy is having the time of his life, by the way, any one of us would love to be in a hotel room, shitty or not, smoking cigs, eating candy bars, warming up a Hot Pocket.
Watching Iron Man 2.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds
right?
amazing.
Right? Towel laid out. Who gives a fuck?
Do that right
Throw
now.
Throw your shit right on the ground. It's a hotel room. Fuck those maids, right?
Been saying
that. Any one of us would have just loved to be that relaxed and living that life. And then shaglunk.
Shot in the balls.
How did they not? Shot in the fucking balls.
How did they not?
So surprised, probably, right?
Yeah. How do they not see the, how does the coroner or whatever the fuck they are not see a bullet hole in their?
So it was a tiny cut, but it was, the balls were swollen and it was a tiny cut of, I guess to them, no note. Didn't look like.
And it didn't bleed?
It wasn't an exit wound.
Not notable enough because like. Once you're past a certain age, your balls start looking weird all the time. You know.
It was super swollen and it was a tiny cut, so it would have been...
Yeah, didn't see it.
It would have been, if you're looking for gunshot, it would have maybe been an entrance wound, but...
If they knew, if yeah, if they were looking for it, they would search until they
otherwise,
found...
Otherwise, it just looks like a cut on a guy that was... He's looking for heart disease anyways.
And they
right?
didn't find the bullet either. That's so weird.
That is weird, actually. That they didn't find the bullet.
I mean, I guess if you're not looking for it, you're not going to... Not really
good. And also
it.
If you're a coroner in Beaumont, Texas.
You don't
that's probably the number one thing.
You're drunk while you're looking around.
Where are we?
8 months.
8 months after the investigation began. Sorry, I was like in character. Sorry.
That was incredible. That was the best the best way to deliver that.
I was locked in.
Yeah.
Locked in. 8 months after the investigation began, Beaumont police brought a guest that had been at the hotel the night Greg died, Tim Steinmetz. He had been working as an electrician on a contract in Beaumont and stayed in the room adjacent to Greg's along with his co-worker Lance Mueller. They had been questioned by the police during the initial investigation but cleared, like I said, of any suspicion. In light of new evidence, they were now the prime suspects. Detective Apple and Ken played the good cop, bad cop routine in textbook fashion. Ken questioned Tim in a friendly manner to bring down his guard. Then Ken hit him with the accusations. It only took one interview to get the full story. On the night in question, Tim and Lance were drinking in their room with a coworker when Mueller decided to whip out his 9mm pistol and play with it, as you do. What a fucking loser.
What else are you going to do with it?
I don't trust a guy named Lance. I wouldn't share a hotel with a guy named Lance.
No. Like, you know this guy. He's like the annoying one. Obviously.
Lance?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
If he's like, oh, they're getting all drunk, and he's like,
or he's gay.
Up? Yeah. So, Mueller decided to whip out his 9mm pistol and play with it. When the other men protested, he mocked them by pointing the gun at them and pretended to pull the trigger. The pistol went off, blowing a hole in the wall and totally killing the mood of the party. Mueller hid the gun in his pickup and then patched the hole with toothpaste.
It's quick acting. I mean, that's good reflexes.
Right.
Not the accidentally shooting a gun part.
I think they also thought, like, they probably listened. Right?
To be like, right after the gunshot.
Right after the gunshot, you're like, oh my God, if someone's screaming, if people are like freaking out, or like,
are we good?
You know, are we good?
Yeah.
And so you think like maybe nobody's staying in there. Maybe it's like didn't hit anybody. I don't know.
It's like, look, if we shot somebody, they'd be yelling by now.
They'd be yelling.
Just fucking play it.
Or someone, I don't know. Or if someone else is in there and they saw the bullet whiz by them, they're going to be yelling. I don't know. We don't hear anything.
Like, honestly, if it was me and I actually shot a gun in a hotel room, I would just, like, hide the hole. But I wouldn't even use toothpaste. I'd, like, put a picture on it or...
Something.
Like, move a table over to it.
Yeah.
And just bounce.
So it's not like... At this point, they don't think they killed anyone, I don't think.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Detectives had Tim sign an affidavit swearing that his version of the events were truthful. The Beaumont police used his confession to coerce Tim to make a phone call to Lance Mueller, during which Mueller corroborated Tim's story. It was the last piece of the puzzle that police needed to make an arrest. Lance Mueller was charged with manslaughter and convicted on October 29th of 2012. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison and has since been released. The other two men in the other two men present in the room were not charged. Understandably so.
Yeah, they weren't the fucking drunk asses pulling out the gun to play with it.
What did he get charged for?
Manslaughter.
Oh. Because, like I said, it wasn't... They didn't even know if they were covering something, a murder up. They were hiding the fact that they shot a gun through the wall. Probably in the back of their head, they're like, I don't know. Because the next morning, when they're wheeling out Greg... They thought, so they said, but they thought maybe the guy had a
heart attack. Because that's what everyone was saying. So they only heard heart attack. So they're like,
even still, they're not really sure. Okay, if they
so
did
then
it
like we, yeah. they didn't say he was shot. They said he had a heart attack. So then we didn't kill him. This is just total coincidence. Like, you know, you're like thinking in your mind, like it's total coincidence. Like they would have said that he got shot, not that he had a heart attack. But when things started to come out, I'm sure they heard things and then were like, dude, we're taking this to our grave. So manslaughter is that they didn't mean to.
Yeah.
It wasn't malicious. It wasn't pre-planned, any of that. They weren't trying to cover up a murder. They didn't exactly know if they murdered anyone. So that's why.
Do you think 10 years is the right amount for accidentally killing someone?
I think there has to be some punishment for it.
Like yes.
There's got to be a punishment that's strong enough to make people think twice.
I think he may have gotten 5 if they came forward right away.
Yeah. I mean, there's a good chance that they wouldn't have gotten charged at all if they would have come forward right away.
True.
Like a good lawyer probably could have gotten them off.
Yeah.
Or like if they called the police. I accidentally fired off my gun. I don't know if there's someone in the room next door. Please help.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in that situation, it'd
can
be less likely.
Can you get into the room and see if there's anyone in there? Like, I
fucked
just,
up.
Like, yeah. I was taking it out. You don't even have to say that you were out playing with. Like, I was taking it out. And
now
it
you're
just,
getting parole. Now you're not even going to jail. They're going to be like, you got to work and do some
probation. Yeah.
I mean, labor and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be more of a slap on the wrist compared to 10 years in prison.
Right.
So the 10 years is more because he fucking lied.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because it seemed like, you know, and then Tim was kind of trying to lie, but they got him to tell the truth. And then Tim had to call Lance and then be like, remember that shit? And he's like, what the fuck happened, dude?
It was
he's
the like, name, too. The judge was like, 5 years.
Lance.
Because you're an idiot. What's your name again? Lance, 10
Lance,
years.
10. Would have been 5 if it was Tim. Yeah. So, what started out as a mystery, and for a very long time, was...
Yeah,
how long
like
was the...
Like, these cops, no one was really, like, beaten down the door. The wife had hired Brennan, but, like...
But that was, like, months later.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, for these two detectives to keep on the case in this... For this amount of time, it's pretty impressive. Otherwise... Yeah. It really just would have been heart attack,
accidental death, or
mysterious.
Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, realistically, if she hadn't contacted Ken Brennan, then
it would have
just gone cold.
That'd be it.
Yeah.
Which is why we both didn't choose to have sex with Apple. He wasn't the good one.
Damn right.
Damn right.
I'll fuck you, dude.
Oh, sweet boy.
I got you, Apple.
Sweet boy.
Do you think that his wife should go after this dude?
Oh, no, that's the most he can get, right?
Well, kill him for killing her husband.
Oh, she didn't seem too bothered, to be honest, even from the beginning. She was kind of like, hey, she even called the detective and was like, he wasn't healthy. Like, this was just, I kept telling him, you know what I mean?
So maybe it was kind of a good thing for her. Like, she got to start a new life, move on. Maybe she wants to sleep with the guy that killed her husband. That's kind of hot.
Yeah, that could be.
Is that a kink?
There's got to be.
If you like hated your husband and someone killed him and then you fucked him,
there's got to
find
be
a case. That's a good one.
There's got to be movies like that.
Movies, yeah, but they're like some true stories. That'd be a good episode.
Yeah,
that would turn me on.
Turn me on. Would it turn you on more than what usually turns you on?
European women?
No.
Nope, not that.
Not that. Coop, what is it? You've known him longer. What is it like if you were to go through Joel's, let's say, porn history or whatever? What do you think's in there the most?
You know, honestly, we've known each other for a long time. I haven't gone through his porn history, but I know that one thing that's kept us together is a lot of work over a lot of years, and sometimes things start to fail. Like, things get weaker as you use them more.
Sure.
And sometimes you just fucking prolapse.
Yeah.
But we love each other for the prolapse.
Sometimes a friendship just prolapses. Do you know what I mean?
It comes flying out of there.
It just comes flying out.
With the summer sizzle starting to fizzle, cooler heads are looking to lock in a wellness routine fit for the fall and beyond. Lucky for you, Ritual's high standards don't drop with the temperature. Fully committed to traceable science and sourcing, Ritual is shaking up the supplement industry with high-quality ingredients and scientifically developed formulas. With them, you know what you're taking, where it comes from, and why it's important. They've got every base covered, from their clinically backed women's 18-plus multivitamin to groundbreaking options like stress relief and sleep melatonin, which both use first-of-its-kind BioSeries technology designed to optimize formula delivery. And right now, for a limited time, get up to 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.